Hey guys, what's going on? Rachel Kayleen here with the Millennial Wave. I'm excited to be back. I just was traveling for the last 2 weeks. I went out to Florida and then I went over to Washington to go see one of my best friends. So it's been a lot of fun. I should have recorded. I should have got it on video, but things were just crazy. But I am excited to be back in Sacramento here in the studio. I have a very, very special guest. I have a writer, director, producer, and actor, Mr. DJ Hale. I actually met him out here in Sacramento. He used to live out in LA, signed to an agency out there. He's auditioned for people like Will Smith, Rooney Mara. So I'm really excited to have him on the show. Thank you so much for coming on, DJ. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah.
What's up, Rachel? What's up, Rachel?
I love it. I love the energy. I love the energy. That's awesome. So guys, we got a chance to meet probably a few months ago. I used to work at 24 Hour Fitness back in the day. And when I met him, how'd I meet you? Oh my gosh.
Do you want to go there?
Oh God. Here we go. I'm gonna tell the people. So I think it was after the club.
Yep.
By the way, guys, I'm 20. Just to let you guys know, it was after the club, and a lot of the clubs, they're obviously downtown, and the gym that I go to is right there downtown. It's like the only gym that's open 24 hours, and everyone wants to get their parking validated, okay? And where do you go when it's 24 hours? You go to 24 Hour Fitness, and you get your parking validated. So went in there, like, super blasted with some of my friends. I was like, hey, how you doing? You know, what did I say to you? Do you even remember? Were you even sober? No, I'm kidding.
Probably not. Some graveyard shifts, you know.
Oh, the gosh, ultimate turn I know up. All about those. All about those, man. But anyway, it was cool. We got a chance to meet, you know, just cordial friends here and there. You know, when you meet someone, you don't really know too much about them. You just see them every now and then. Then I think we finally got an opportunity to talk. It was like a slow day. I was about to leave the gym. And we just started talking. And we just started having a conversation about, you know, your background. Like, you used to live... You still live in Elk Grove, which is where I went to high school for some of my life. But yeah, we end up talking and you mentioned how you act and whatnot. And I used to intern for a casting director, so we talked about all that. But anyway, I'm excited because obviously I'm not really into acting or the entertainment industry as much as you are. And it's not something that I, you know, I'm like heavily and like, meh, you know, I've worked with Paula Patton though. So that's kind of cool. You know, that was a lot of fun. I was like right in front of her. I was like, oh my God, that's Paula Patton. Like fangirl moment. But anyway, so can you tell me a little bit about how you got into it? Like, is that something that you've always known that you wanted to do? Is that you wanted to get into the entertainment industry, or how did that come about?
Absolutely fucking not. I had no clue that this was going to be something that I was pursuing. My big thing was actually sports growing up. And I was fortunate enough to go to a Waldorf school. I don't know if anybody really knows what that is.
Waldorf?
Yeah.
Sounds private.
Not really private. It's more like it's a school that definitely focuses on like the arts and like just multicultural aspects. It's pretty cool. It's pretty neat. But what it did was, as part of the curriculum, they had us heavily involved in all facets of arts, like from songs to like instruments to acting to everything. Like, we always had to perform. So from kindergarten up until like high school, really, I was acting. I was doing these things. We got introduced to like Shakespeare and stuff, and from like the fourth grade, you know. So it was pretty cool, and it was something that like I always enjoyed doing. It was always fun, but it was never something that like I thought of, like, this was going to be like serious for me ever. You know what I'm saying? Like, I loved like football and sports and stuff like that. And basically what ended up happening was I was trying my hardest to make it in football, you know, and things just did not turn out that way. And the turning point was I went to this junior college. And I went out strictly to like play football, and I needed to take like an art class, you know, and there was an introduction to acting class. And the neat thing that started happening was I started becoming more like excited to go to this acting class than I was like football practice. And I had gone to this school like to play football, you know what I'm saying? And I just started like seeing like the levels just kind of separate from each other, you know, and I stopped I guess I realized that this wasn't going to happen for me, sports, and I had like found this newfound love of acting and performing, and it's some serious work. It's really, really freaking hard. I think that a lot of people don't really, you know, realize that. Like, a lot of people think that acting is just kind of like you memorize some lines, the other person memorizes lines, and then you just say them to each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm dead serious. Like, a lot of people think like that's what acting is, and it's totally not. You know, it's a craft. It's a craft. It's something that you have to really, really, really dedicate yourself to and study, and just you're becoming a different human being in a sense. You know what I'm saying? And I love that. I loved the challenge of it. And this school was in San Diego, by the way. So I moved back to Sacramento, and I started looking. I didn't know how I wanted to pursue this, but it didn't matter, because I knew that, you know, me watching a movie or watching TV, at some point that person on the screen was in my shoes, where they didn't know like how to get this started. They had no clue, but they figured it out. And they made it happen. You know what I'm saying? So I just knew that it could happen. And man, I've literally, from from all, I guess, not phases, but all levels. I've been through all levels, just starting out in Sacramento, right? Where you're not going to do anything aside from like little student films and short films that you're not going to get paid for. You know what I'm saying? Just stuff to get started, you know? Up into the Bay Area to now, like, you have an agent, and now you're going out for commercials and movies that are shooting in the Bay, and these are paid projects, and some of them pay very nicely, and it's a different ball game. To now you're in LA, now the auditions are at Paramount Studios and Universal Studios, and you're Nickelodeon, and you know what I'm saying? Like, it's real. Like, you show up, man, and you got to show your ID. You got to be on the list. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you got to be on the list, bro. And they got to, and they give you a map of the studio, because it's huge. It's like a little village with the casting office circled, and you got to make your way there and sit down and see 30 other people that look just like you, who are going out for the same role for a life-changing type opportunity. It's crazy, you know? And I've just been really, really fortunate with the opportunities that I've had, and that will continue to come, because I'm still doing it. And really, it's just a matter of time before that one kind of pops off. You know what I'm saying? I'm just blessed, man. I'm just really blessed that like those opportunities are there, because like I said, it's a levels kind of thing. Like, who was it? Was it Meek Mill that was like, there's levels to this?
There's levels to
this. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, there really is, you know what I'm saying? And some people really don't like transcend to the next level. And the next level, you know?
Let me ask you this, because at the beginning you said people think that you just read a couple lines, the other person reads a couple lines, and you just say it back to each other, right? And it's definitely not that easy. And I'm sure anyone who wants to go into the entertainment industry will hear right away, the first thing they'll do is go on Google, go on YouTube, search up something about how to become an actor, actress, whatever, right? And they'll see that people will always say it's hard. It's hard. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of rejection. It takes a lot of no's and skills that you have to develop. What do you think is the hardest thing about this industry, and what do you think the biggest misconception is with people that are just getting started? So start with the first one. I don't want to overwhelm you, but what do you think is the hardest thing that you believe, even you yourself, have dealt with in this industry?
Heartbreak as an actor. So I would say that
sorry guys, we have somebody in the studio next to us. They're shooting some music or something. I'm like, what the fuck is that? No, I'm kidding.
Are we good?
No, go ahead. Yeah. Okay. It's still recording. They're not gonna stop us.
Yeah, hell no.
Hell no. Let me put my big boy pants on.
So obviously the hardest thing has got to be dealing with the amount of sheer rejection that you're going to put yourself through. It's hard, man. It's flat out hard, because the statistics are not going to be in your favor. You are going to audition for thousands of things and you're going to book 10. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the ratio is just crazy. You never know what they're looking for. you never know like who else they're seeing. I mean, you could have blown them away, but then the person that can't that comes in three people after you could have blown them away even more. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just it's such a crapshoot, you know. And it's just hard. Like, it's hard to really dedicate yourself to something, and for whatever reason, it's not good enough. And whether it's your talent or not, you're not good enough to portray this character for whatever reason. You know what I'm saying? It's hard for a lot of people to face that and face that and face that and face that and keep on and keep on months, years. And then I talk about the heartbreak aspect of it. Now it's really hard where you make it to the next level, the callback audition, right? It's a callback audition, and this is for a movie this is personal, so personal experience.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so like a movie that's like starring Will Smith. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, Will Smith. Dude. You know my number one goal of this podcast is to have Will Smith as a guest?
I believe you told me that, and I think that's awesome.
And he's going to be my fucking guest.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah.
For real. Will Smith is what – him and Tom Hanks are the guys that really made me fall in love with acting and the craft of acting and being able to be, like, touched by an actor's performance. Him and Tom Hanks, man. So – when I got this email from my agent and it said, you know, Will Smith is attached as the lead, it was just like, oh my fucking God, like, it is on, you know? I've never to this day, like, practiced as hard for, like, an audition as I did for this one. Like, I legit probably went through my lines and everything for, like, a solid, like, 8 hours. Like, it was like a work day, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And then you don't get it. And then you see a couple months later, you see the trailer for it, and you're like, oh, what the fuck? Like, that could have been me, man. You see the guy that got it, you know, that got your role, you know? And other callbacks where it's just, like, you're right there. A callback means it's really between you and either maybe 10 other people, 5 other people, 3 other people, whatever. It's you distance yourself from the rest. Like, it's the role is yours, you know? Why is it? You know what I'm saying? So having to, you know, just go through that, man, because especially like when you're living in LA, LA is a very, very, very shitty place to live in. It just is. It's really bad. Like, the scenery's bad. The rent is bad. The people are bad. Everything about it is just hard. Like, you're working two jobs plus your grind because nobody just moves to LA to move to LA.
We all move. Let me ask you.
What's up?
So the hardest thing was the rejection.
I think it's one of, but hardest, also the performance, man.
Hardest thing is knowing you worked your ass off, but it still wasn't good enough. And you just have to keep going.
It's got to keep going.
And what do you think that is? Do you think that's passion? Do you think that's mindset? Do you think that it's the desire to win? Like, what do you think keeps people in the game? Because you lived in L.A., I'm sure you saw a lot of people fall off or you see a lot of people that still haven't made it that are working day in, day out to try to accomplish that goal that, you know, people have when they go to LA, like they want to be a star. They want to get, you know, that one role that changes their life. What do you think it takes? What do you think it takes for someone to get to that level?
It's got to be passion. It has to be passion. It's because you absolutely love to do this. You cannot imagine yourself like doing anything else in life. Your life is incomplete unless you are doing this thing. That's the only way that will really keep you grounded and keep you going and not give up. You mentioned like people that go out there to be a star. Those are the first ones that jump ship because it's way too hard. It's way too fucking hard. And if you really don't love this, you don't love the craft, you're not obsessed with filmmaking and just being an actor and performing and putting in the work that it takes, you're gonna fall off. Like, it's not, this isn't for like a hobby. It's not a hobby, you know. Everybody that's out in LA that are pursuing this is because this is like their life, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's got to be passion. The desire to win, I don't think that is strong enough. I mean, it could be. I don't know. I just, for me, it's got to be passion, man. It's got to be passion, and that's really it. You know, you got to love it. You got to be obsessed with this, man. It has to be your life. It has to be your life. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, you'll be out there for. And I've seen this happen. I know plenty of people like this. they give it 2 years, 3 years tops. They don't really, you know, I don't know. They don't really make progress at all. 3 years and they're still kind of like, they still don't have an agent, or they're still auditioning for like, you know, those like student films at UCLA and stuff like that. And they just look around and they're like, what the fuck am I doing? You know what I'm saying? I went and moved. I had a great living situation from wherever I came from. Now I'm here and I've got hella roommates. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's
the struggle.
The struggle is so real. And they say, fuck it, it's just not for me. And they just go back home. And then if they continue acting, it's just for a hobby. You know what I'm saying? But like, yeah, it's hard. You know, the way I see it, I look at LA like it's a beast. It's a beast, you know? And what happens when you encounter a beast is it either eats you, you kill it, or maybe you run away, kind of figure out how you can
reapproach the situation,
then you come back, then you slay that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how it is, man.
How's it been for you?
It's got to be the third approach, for real. You know, I experienced my highs and my lows, you know, living in LA and pursuing that. Like, it definitely, dude, it's kind of funny to like talk about now, but
let me ask you this.
You got it.
I don't want to cut you off, but I want to make sure that I'm asking the questions before they leave my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But you're here. We're in Sacramento right now. We're in the studio. When was the point that you decided it's time for me to move to LA, and why did you come back? Okay.
So I was doing my thing in San Francisco for about maybe a year and a half, 2 years, and I was on a roll. Like, I booked a national commercial, which still pays me to this day.
Man, those residuals. The residuals, boy. You know?
It's very nice, very nice.
Awesome.
And then
Wait, sorry. How long will that last? Forever?
To be honest with you, I don't know.
But they just said until the commercial stops running.
It's, you know what's funny? Is like, I don't even get like a warning. I'll just, the check will just appear. It'll just appear. And it's usually in the nick of time, like, you know what I'm saying? It's great.
Nick of time, wow.
Yeah.
Funny how that works.
You feel me? So I booked a national commercial. I booked a few other commercials that weren't national but still paid a lot. And I just sat back and I was like, okay, you know what? Like, I can do this. You know, like in the Bay Area, it's more commercial work. It's more commercial. There's a lot of modeling type stuff, which I'm not really into. But
like print?
Print, yeah. But my thing was like film and TV. Commercials are cool, they pay the bills and then some, but like, well, that's in LA too. You know what I'm saying? So I scrounged up what I had and I moved to LA and I did
what
it.
What was the first thing you did?
When I moved
did
there?
Did you already have a roommate and a room situation set up, or did you just go?
I literally met my roommate like 2 days before we moved out to LA. So my friend was already in LA. And basically, I told him that I was coming, and then he told me that his friend wanted to move out too, and that she needed a roommate. So we like got each other's numbers like that day. We met up that night, went to like a bar just to like kick it, and just like, all right, so probably gonna be living together.
Yeah.
And then we're both like, all right, cool. Like, you're chill, I'm chill. Let's fucking do it. And we went out and we got a shitty ass apartment.
Where was it?
Koreatown.
Koreatown. My friend lives there, I think. Really? It sucks. Oh, man.
Well, I don't think all of it is. Well, nah, I take
it. Is it near Hollywood?
It's
I'm
bad.
Not sure.
A little, yeah, it's okay. It's close to Hollywood.
What was the rent like?
So we had a one bedroom and it was $1,200, which isn't bad for LA.
That isn't bad at all.
It's not bad at all. But you gotta take into consideration where this was. It was not cool, man. Like, it was, we were like smack dab in the middle of like gang territory, like MS-13. Like, it was bad. Like, it, like, dude, like, you, like, what is that? Vice?
Okay.
Yeah, like, it's like they would shoot like a freaking like documentary there. Like, it was crazy. Man,
what
we saw
crazy
so much
about
shit.
It? Tell me a story.
Dude,
I wanna hear about
dude,
it.
Dude.
You gotta tell me some crazy stuff.
So one time, man, we saw somebody get stabbed.
No
yeah,
fucking
we saw somebody,
way!
We saw
no.
somebody get, I'm not playing.
No.
We saw somebody get
in
stabbed.
In your face? Did they see that
like
you
across,
saw?
Like across the street. So it was really funny.
He looks over at you, bro. I'm coming for you now.
No, so my ex, my ex, mm-hmm. We were living together, and like, she was really cool. Like, I met her, like, shit, like, the first week I moved to L.A. She
Damn,
came
you already
from
picked one up?
It was, like, through mutual friends. It, it was, okay. I totally didn't plan for this to happen, but whatever. Anyways, so she's from a very different, like, family background than I am. You know, I'm that's kind of stuff, like, it's extreme, but it's, like, I'm from Southside. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's whatever. Whereas, like, with her, she was from, like, this Bay Area kind of, like, mid, upper class, like, mm-hmm. thingy. And so she would get home hella late. So I would always go out and basically, like, hop in her car so she'd go park because it's Koreatown. There's no fucking parking. Like, you got.
She lived in Koreatown, too?
She lived with
too?
Me, yeah.
Oh, wait. So was she the one
in.
That you met?
No.
Oh, she
no,
moved
she
in.
Moved
okay,
in.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways.
After a week?
No, no. This okay. was this
See,
was like
months
later. You
gotta tell
later.
Me the details.
Sorry. Yeah,
I'm a details type of person.
Hell no. But people do that. People do that in LA. Yeah. You know, shit. Anyways, so like, she parks. We're walking back to our place, and the shit happens like across the street.
What's happening?
And it's, I'm gonna assume it was some kind of gang type shit because there was it wasn't just like one person. It was there was a few. You know what I'm saying? There's like four. And we just saw a dude just kind of get thrown to the ground and just kind of see the arm movements. And she was like, oh, my God. And I just turned her hella fast. I was like, babe, just go. Just fucking keep walking. Like, you didn't see nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, nothing, you know? So we fucking got in. And she was just like, she just seen a ghost. Like, it was just like, whoa, like, where the fuck am I? And it was like, dude, like, we're in the fucking hood, man. Like, we're not, this isn't like a joke. Like, a lot of L.A. is like that. Like, you want to be cheap and you want to find like the like a good like living situation in LA, like you can't be cheap about it because you're going to put yourself in a really really sketchy ass place. You know what I'm saying? That's not good. And how did we get on this topic?
I asked you what your crazy stories were.
Oh yeah. So I saw somebody get stabbed. Let me see. Just a whole bunch of like pimp hooker type bullshit.
Yeah.
Man, and then I guess just being around hella sketch type shit. Every single night, there's always police sirens, helicopters, the whole nine. Like, it was wild.
Was it worth it?
Fuck no. We got out of there, like, that 6 months was up. We got the fuck out. And then we moved to Hollywood, which was a little bit better. It was a little bit better. It still was kind of trashy.
One bedroom.
This one was, like, $1,500, $1,600, though. Like,
okay.
It's a little bit more expensive.
How many roommates?
It was just me and her.
Oh, wow.
It was just me and her.
You both were working?
Yeah, so she is an actress, too.
Okay.
So it was really cool to kind of be in, like, a relationship like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like, fuck, what are we...
I'm asking you about your experience. So you went to L.A. after uh-huh. you had scrunched up enough money.
Oh, yeah.
You were
yeah.
living in Koreatown. You moved to Hollywood.
Yeah.
And then you were there. How long were you in L.A.?
I was in L.A. for, like, 3.5 years, I believe.
Wow. Do you feel like you lasted a lot longer than most?
Yeah. And really, the reason I left, it was out of my control. What ended up happening, and it was, I guess it's kind of like a snowball effect, but the thing that really put me out was I started driving like Uber and Lyft so that I can like work on my own hours and stuff.
Yeah.
And my car, like, I fucked up my car.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Was it because of Uber and Lyft, or was it on your own time?
No, it was on my own time.
Oh, fuck.
It's kind of funny. I don't know shit about cars. So, like, I got a flat tire, and I was, like, close to my house. So I was like, fuck it. I'll just, like, drive home and worry about it then. But I guess what you're never supposed to do is, like, drive on a flat.
Yeah.
So it turned, like,
How this... far were you?
I was maybe, like, a five-minute drive home. Like,
oh.
Yeah, so it's, like, it wasn't, like, you just turn the corner and you're there. I mean, it was, like, you got to drive a little bit.
Yeah.
But I was just, like, my house is right there. It's all good. And so it turned, like, a little issue into something major. And my insurance thought that I was trying to, like, scam them, basically, because I had just gotten with them. And so what ended up happening was my car went out of commission for, like, a whole month. So that's a whole month where I didn't have any money. And... at that time, I was living, like, super paycheck to paycheck. You know what I'm saying? So, basically, I just ran out of money, and there was nothing I could do. And it was either I can stay there and, like, live in my car and do that whole thing, or I can just kind of regroup, or I can leave, regroup, and then go back out there with a plan. You know what I'm saying? But prior to that happening, it was a lot, dude. Like, I reached probably the lowest point in my acting career where I went a solid, I'll say, like, 6-7 months where I didn't audition for anything, and that was not by choice. That was just like, they just didn't want, casting directors just did not want to see me. My agent wouldn't like talk with me, wouldn't let me know anything what was going on. It was just bad, you know what I'm saying? Me and my ex broke up, you know what I'm saying? So I was dealing with that too. Like, it was just, everything was just kind of like a snowball effect of just like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, this is just, I'm in a place that I hate. I'm not even getting to do what I love. Like, nobody's giving me a chance. Like, I'm broke as fuck. Like, it's just bad. Like, it was legitimately like rock bottom. You know what I'm saying?
Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
When all that happened and you decided to move back, do you think that all that happened because it was testing you to see how strong and how much you were willing to put up with to stay out there? Or do you think it was a sign that it's time for you to come back and go back when you think you can really do it?
I guess that's kind of it depends on what you believe, man. Do you believe in destiny or do you believe in like choice? You know, if you're asking my opinion, I don't know. I can make cases for both. But the fact that I'm still out doing this and preparing to go back lets me know that like this isn't fake. Like, this is for real. Like, I'm really like about it, because the average person, which we talked about like before, that would have been it. They'd have been like, all right, fuck it. Like, I got to go back home and that's it. I gave it a shot. Didn't work out. Oh, well. You know what I'm saying? But for me, that wasn't it. That wasn't part of the plan. And it was awesome because I actually didn't move back to Sacramento. I moved to Vegas.
Oh, wait. Whoa, wait. You can't Vegas, leave that man. Out. Okay, so you go from LA to Vegas?
To Vegas, man.
Why?
I got family there. I got family
so you,
there.
Why didn't you choose to come back to Sac?
Why didn't I?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just wanted to try something new, I guess. And Vegas was a great experience. I got cast in my first like stage production, man. My first play that was in Vegas, and that was really dope. That was such an awesome experience. Like, it taught me so much about acting. Like, the greatest like acting lesson you can ever have as an actor is to do a play, a live performance. You know what I'm saying? Particularly like a drama where you can't fake nothing. You know what I'm saying? There's no like. You're not feeling it, so hold up, let me do that again, you know? Or you mess up a line or something like that, oh, let me get that again. Like, no, it's all live, man. It is all live. People are paying money to come see this. Like, you've got to be so sharp, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was the greatest, like, acting experience I could have asked for. And that's something that I know for sure I wouldn't have done in L.A. because I never would have had the time. And then in Sacramento, I don't know if I would have did it. Like, Vegas just kind of had this, like...
Yeah, it has that type of
It's
appeal.
Vegas, man. Yeah, you know?
So it was dope. You on the strip when you did the play?
No, it was off strip. Oh, okay. It was off strip. But, yeah, like, that was dope. And then I moved back to Sacramento.
So you did the play now. And then you dipped? Or
and
what?
Then I dipped.
How long were you in Vegas?
Exactly what happened. Like, 6 months. It's like half a year.
It's not bad. You liked it?
I love
Did you
Vegas.
Did you work out there?
Yeah.
Did you work as, like, a promoter? I'm just guessing strip jobs.
No. I actually 24-hour fitness, man.
Oh, really? Yeah. Which one? Tropical?
They take
Wait,
care.
It's like Tropicana.
Tropicana. How you know about that?
Did you work at that one?
Yeah.
I
worked
no
there.
Way.
I worked at the one on Silverado Creek, I believe
okay,
it was.
I don't know
you
about
know
that.
Where
one.
That is?
I remember a couple of months ago, it was my friend's 22nd birthday, and I had this fake, and I remember when I hit you up, I was like, hey, you got it. You're like, I do not condone to this. I was like, all right, bro. Anyway, so I had a fake that my friend gave me or whatever, and she was like, what, like 25, something like that, and it worked everywhere in Sac, and right. You know, and then I go to Vegas, I'm feeling good, I'm feeling confident, I believe I'm her, like, I'm acting.
You're acting.
I'm acting, okay, I believe
actor.
I'm her. I know her name. I know how to spell it. I know her zodiac sign. I know her birthday. I know it all. I think I memorized the address. I mean, everything. And long story short, the ID got taken away. So, yeah. So they went out and I let them do their thing. Like, I'm not one to, like, it's her birthday. Come on, yeah. And go have fun. Go do your thing. It's my fault. You know, it's my problem. So I went to the gym.
As you should.
Yeah. And then Tropicana. That's what it is, right? That's the location or tropical. I don't know. It was something, Tropicana. But whatever one you worked at that you said. But yeah. So you come back to Sac. How long have you been back in SAC?
December.
Oh, so not even a year?
Nope.
Okay. So it's all kind of fresh.
Pretty much, yeah. It's pretty refreshing being back in Sacramento. Elk Grove in particular, just because it's really chill.
Yeah.
Like, I just lived in L.A. and then Vegas. Elk Grove is
you come to Sacramento where it's super duper chill.
Super chill, super slow, super green. Well, some areas.
I guess.
You feel me?
The city of trees. I don't even think they call it that anymore.
Why'd they change that? I don't even know what it's called now. It's so dumb.
Farm to Fork.
Ooh. Yeah, what is that?
I can't say that.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Hey, it's dope.
Yeah, Farm to Fork. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. But City of Trees, I like. Sacramento Proud, I can mess with that. I can mess with that. I like that.
But it's nice. It's really nice being back. It was the perfect, like way to regroup. You know what I'm saying? And just get my mind right and ready to go back out there, you know? Back out to the city of dreams, you know?
Oh, so. When are you planning on going back?
Well, we are... So now, aside from, like, acting and stuff, like, now I'm into, like, producing. The best... What I can tell, like, anybody that's, I guess, trying to kind of break in... It's awesome if you can make your own material. And not just make your own material, but, like, make it, like, good. Like, you got to put money in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing. Like, a lot of people are afraid to, like, invest in themselves for this.
Amen.
Because in the beginning, you're not going to get, like, a return on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, whether it's, like, a short film that you make or whatever, that's just money that's just going into it, and you're not going to recoup that. You're just not. And a lot of people... are scared to do that and are not okay with it.
Biggest risk is taking no risk at all.
Exactly. Period. That's absolutely true. But the thing is, look, if you're auditioning or whatever and you're not getting cast or whatever, like, what better opportunity is there than to write yourself a story, produce it so that it gets made, direct it if you want, you know what I'm saying? Because it is your vision. You know what I'm saying? And put that out there and let people experience your talent like that way. Like you're taking it upon yourself to go up to the door and open it and say, here I am, instead of just knocking and, you know, hey guys, my name's DJ.
That reminds me of Sylvester Stallone's.
Exactly. Yeah. He's a huge inspiration to me. Huge inspiration. Huge, man. Like I want a career like him. Him, Adam Sandler.
Tell me about, I don't know anything about his, like, initial story. I just know I love him.
Sylvester?
He's funny. No, Adam Sandler.
It's kind of the same.
It was similar?
Yeah.
What movie was the one that, like, got him? Did he write his own? And then it got picked up?
Yeah, he was a writer. Yeah. The only thing, I don't think he directed. I'm pretty sure he just didn't direct. But he would write. He'd come up with, if he didn't write the screenplay, he would at least have say in, like, the story. And, of course, he would be the lead, you know what I'm saying? But people like Sylvester Stallone, like that's huge because that is just the ultimate like gamble and to not give up because it's easy to it's not easy, but you can write a story and it can be really freaking cool and really good and you can pitch it to somebody that can make it happen, but they can tell you like, well, I like this and we can make it happen, but I don't know about you playing this character.
Yeah. Well, I want everyone to know, for anyone who doesn't know the story about Sylvester Stallone in the movie Rocky, basically, actually, it's funny. I was literally listening to this morning, no joke, by Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins, I believe, tells this story best, besides, obviously, Sylvester Stallone himself. But Tony Robbins talks about how he got a chance to meet him, and he got a chance to talk to him a little bit. And basically, when Sylvester Stallone was trying to, you know, do the whole acting thing, right? He was writing and producing. This is where the story really picked up, is when he watched a fight between, oh my gosh, Muhammad Ali and someone else. I don't know. All that matters is Muhammad Ali, right? And he starts writing. He gets so inspired. He writes for like 20 hours straight. Then he's so excited. He starts showing it to a bunch of different, who would you show it to? Agencies? That you want to
agents,
pick it up?
Could be okay. Agents, yeah.
He just started sending it to a bunch of people. They would all read it. They'd be like, oh, man, it's sappy. It's corny. It's predictable. No. You know? And then finally, one agency or whatever, they read it and they like it and they want to pick it up. And they offer $125,000. Mind you, he was at the lowest point in his life, literally had just sold his dog for $25 outside of a liquor store because he couldn't keep his dog. He sold his dog to a random person. He was trying to sell him for $50. He got $25 for it. Anyway, they picked it up, offered him $125,000. He said no because they didn't want him to star in it. Mm-hmm. He wanted to star in it. And this is for the audience. You know, I know that you already know this. But basically, he said no, and he walked away. He was literally at the lowest point. He was dead broke, guys. Dead broke. And he still said no. He had he knew what he wanted. He had a vision, right? And that's why vision is so important, to know where you're going. And basically, then they came back. They offered him, like, the highest they offered him was, like, $325,000. And he still said no. So finally, they said, you know what? Fine. You can star in it. We'll pay you $35,000. Still, like, you know, whatever. Tony Robbins said that he asked Sylvester what he went and he spent that money on, right, when he got that 35 grand. He thought, you know, maybe he went out and partied or, you know, bought something nice. He said he literally went and he bought his dog back. Mm-hmm. He went and he bought his dog back. And the movie, they didn't invest a lot of money into it. I think they invested maybe like $2 million into it. And they only gave him $35,000, and it grossed $200 million, guys. So that's the power of vision. That's his story, and it's just super inspirational, and it's because he wrote it. He wrote it. He wanted to be the star in it. So it kind of reminds me of exactly what you're saying right now, mm-hmm. and just having that vision and trying different approaches. If one way isn't working the best, there's nothing wrong with trying something else or a different approach, right?
That's absolutely true. Yeah, him. Another one I like, which is it's pretty similar, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. Their movie Good Will Hunting, which is it's an Oscar winner. It's a great movie, great film. They went through the same thing, where both of them were at points in their career where they weren't really taking off. You know what I'm saying? And so they just kind of had a conversation with themselves, like, well, why don't we just make a movie? Let's just write something.
Them together?
Yeah, they both wrote it.
Wait, what?
Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, they both wrote it.
Wait. They knew each other?
Yeah, they're like, they go way back. They were really good friends? Yeah.
Were they from the same area?
I think so. I want to say they're from Boston. I feel like
Ben Affleck, I can definitely hear the accent in both of them.
Yeah.
Boston. Boston.
Yeah, that's a lot of their movies like take place in Good Will Hunting, you know? Wow. But anyways, and it was the same thing. And then they ended up writing Good Will Hunting, and they shopped it around, and everybody kind of had the similar approach where it was like, well, we like this. We just don't know about you guys, you know, starring in this. You know what I'm saying? We'll buy it off you, you know, if that's what you want to do. And they rejected and rejected and rejected and rejected because they knew, you know, well, nah, like, this is for us, man. Like, we wrote, like, this is for us. Like, this is our vision. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know what we have here. Somebody's going to take a chance on us. And somebody did. And then that movie went. And, I mean, it, obviously, with the help of people like Robin Williams, rest in peace, Gus Van Sant, you know, the director, like, it was huge, man. It was huge. And they ended up winning, like, Oscars for the screenplay. I mean, that's just, it's awesome. You know what I'm saying? It's awesome to just hang on to your vision. You know what I'm saying? But you got to, like, manifest it first, and you got to create it, man. You got to create it. Like, that's the next step. You don't just be, like, a dreamer. You know what I'm saying? You got to be a doer. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so important. Like, a lot of people, like you said, are afraid to, what was that quote that you said?
The biggest risk is taking no risk at all.
It's so true. Everybody has some kind of idea of their best self, them doing, like, the best thing ever, you know, according to them, their dream. But how many people are actually going to sit down and come up with a plan to, like, achieve it? Not a lot of people. No. Yeah.
That brings me to my next question. I even asked you this before, but I want you to say it again because you had to think about it for a second. I really had to pull it out of you because I asked you, what is the number? You're like, I don't know. So I asked you, I said, what percentage of people do you think actually make it? And when I say make it, I mean like make it. They're known. They're not just known in their city. They're not just popular in LA. Like, they really made it. Maybe not at, like, it doesn't have to be super high level, but I would say recognition to a point of Channing Tatum, Jennifer Lawrence.
Less than 5%.
Less than 5%.
I feel like that's a fair
And estimate. Let me ask you, how many years? Oof. Now, obviously, everyone's different. Everyone is different. There's no telling at all. You can't say, oh, see, most people say, well, if it doesn't work for, if I don't get this in 1 year, then I'm out. But you shouldn't have that one, you know, specific number to rely on to bring you success, right? But how many years do you think it takes for someone to really reach that level?
You can't really put a number on it, but I mean, it's...
I remember I was listening to Jim Carrey. I think he was on Oprah's show back when she had it, and he said that he wrote himself a check for like $1 million, 12 million. I think it was $12 million. He wrote himself a check, and he just said, I will get this, I will get this, I will get this. And I think he put like a date on it for like 5 years, 7 years, something like that. It was years, though. It was years.
I think it was 5 years.
Sure it was, yeah. He said literally right before that five-year mark, he got that call for Dumb and Dumber.
You know...
if I'm correct. But anyway, long story short, he literally, he reached his goal right before it was about to, quote unquote, expire. And it was literally that, basically that amount, if not more. It was not less. It was more than the amount that he had put on that check.
There's
no time.
There's no time. You can't put a time, because as soon as you put a time on it, it's, you're preparing yourself that, like, okay, well, I better have like a backup plan. You know, I better have a plan to fall back on just in case. And one of my favorite quotes is actually from Will Smith, in which he says, I'm paraphrasing here, but it was like, it doesn't make sense to have a plan B, because plan B distracts from plan A.
Oh, I like that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and he's absolutely right, man. He's absolutely right, because I feel like you have to go all in. You have to go all in. You have to be willing to sacrifice everything for this. Everything. And not just for acting. I mean, this really accounts for, like, really anything, like, major in life is going to take... it's an absurd obstacle that, like, you have to get through. And, you know, you are... it's going to test you in every way, shape, and form. Like, from the people in your life to your environments, you will be tested. You know what I'm saying? How bad do you really want it? And it is what it is. Like, I guess that's kind of what separates, like, the people that, like, are really in this thing. You know what I'm saying? That are really willing to, like, risk everything for this. And when I say risk everything, I mean risk everything. Financial security, stable living situation, relationships with friends or significant others, family members, you name it. You know what I'm saying? There is not one thing that you can put before, like my career and like what I want to do. There's not one thing. Like, I don't care who you are, what we've done in the past, where I am, a job, whatever. Like, there's nothing.
You will always choose this.
Always. Always.
You know, like, without a hesitation.
Without a hesitation. I don't care who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I really mean that.
How many times have you been called crazy?
So many. Really? So many, dude. So many. I've had
Have you ever had someone say, man, why are you still doing that? You should go and do this. Have you ever had anyone do that?
You know what? No, only because I cut off anybody that had that kind of energy when I was just starting out. And telling people, like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. You know what? I think I want to try acting. You know what I'm saying? I've had homies, like, legit laugh in my face because I've never heard somebody, especially coming from where I'm from, talking about, like, you want to be an actor. You know what I'm saying? It's the goofiest thing alive. I've had girls that I was dating, kind of the same thing, just like, yeah, you know, I'm going to be an actor. And
yeah, are you okay. Serious?
Oh, yeah. Dead serious. Damn. Dead serious.
You're from South Sac, so is Keith Powers, right?
I don't know. I never met the guy. Or
do you, like, I met him once. Uh-huh. It was after El Rey. My friend. I know. That sounds so bad. You guys, I really don't even go out like that. Like, it's only because you were working night shifts. And I haven't gone out in like a month. But, also, I don't have an ID. But it's okay. Fuck it. So, I remember we were leaving. Like, it was after picnic day at UC Davis. And we went to El Rey. This was the first time I used the ID or whatever. And my friend and I were, like, leaving El Rey. And she was like, oh, my God, that's Keith Powers. I was like, no fucking way, because I looked at him and I'm like, that is not him. He had a fucking fanny pack, he was wearing high waters, like, I was like, that's not him. There's no way that's him. There's no, I don't, it just didn't look like him, you know? Yeah. But I remember I would see him on social media, and then I saw him obviously in Straight Outta Compton. I was like, God damn, major. He just died. That's crazy. I know, right? Yeah. And then now he's in that show. I don't know if it's still going on, but he was in a show with Bella Thorne. I think that's who it was.
Oh,
she used to do Disney Channel's Redhead. I don't know the name of the show, but.
I feel like it's on Netflix though.
Is it?
I think so. I think I know what you're talking about.
Well, anyway. Yeah, so she's like, oh my God, that's him. I was like, go say hi. And then she's like, no, no, no. I was like, no, we're going to go say hi. So we go up, we walk up to him. We're like, hey, thank you for what you're doing. Like, you're putting SAC on the map, you know, because at the end of the day, like, the people that come from Sacramento and actually come back and show love, I think that's important. I think it's important to never forget where you came from. So it was cool to meet him, but I think it's also inspirational because of his story. And he's from South Sac. Like, I think he went to Sac High, too. Like, I don't know. But... anyway, that's why I was just curious, because you're right. Like, a lot of people from Sacramento, they don't...
Never.
No.
Dude, yeah, nobody trying to be an actor. It's all, like, sports-type stuff. It's all rappers, of course. Everybody's a rapper out here. Like, there's nobody, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm gonna be an actor, and it's for real about it, you know? So it was goofy. So I've had people that laughed. I've had girls that scoffed and thought I wasn't shit. And now they hit me up. I've had like...
Wait until you get even bigger.
Oh, trust me.
They'll be throwing themselves.
I already know, man. And like, it's...
I'm pregnant. No, I'm here. Shots fired.
Come on.
Shots fired.
Nah, but it is what it is, man. But like, back to my main point, you know, it's... There's nothing, like, nothing's going to come between like my like career choice. And I wholeheartedly mean that. It's a concept that a lot of people truly can't comprehend and can't focus like themselves to do. But you got to do it, man. You got to do it because we all have toxic people in our circle, in our camp. We do. And you know what I'm saying? We love these people. They're our best friends, people we think are brothers and sisters, you know what I'm saying? But are just on a different path, yeah. Man, they're just on a bad path, and it's like, dude, you're not doing it. The more time you spend with that person, you know what I'm saying, you're just taking on like their baggage, man, their negative energy, and you gotta man up and you gotta cut it. I've had to cut some people out of my life, man, that I never imagined, you know what I'm saying, I'd be 25 right now and like these, I'm like never like speaking to these people again, you know what I'm saying, like people I legit grew up with, you know what I'm saying.
I mean, I've heard that, because a lot of people are not going to want to do the same thing as the other person. You may have grown up with this person. You may love this person. They may be family, but everyone is different. Everyone has different goals, dreams. I mean, you'll notice that successful people, they don't only hang around people that are doing the same thing as them, like in the same industry, but they hang around other successful people.
Yep.
So just because you're in the entertainment industry doesn't mean that you can't really connect with someone that's into business, right? You can't connect with someone that's an athlete on a high, high level, pro, right? But you'll notice like in every industry, even if it's different, the principles are the same. The mindset has to be there. The patience definitely has to be there. The consistency, the perseverance. You have to be willing to cut people off, like you said. And that door that you're going through to go after your dreams was made for you and only you. You can bring people with you later when you make it. That's why I always hear all these rappers, like they go and they make it and then they bring all their team with them. And you know what I mean? Like, you don't see their team rapping. Their team's just there. You know what I mean?
I can assure you that ain't finna be me.
Yeah.
That is not going to be me. Like, no way, dude.
Sometimes that door is only made for you, and it truly is only made for you. And if those people stick around and they aren't negative and they're supportive, keep them around, but don't fall into what they're doing. You know what I mean? If they support you, they're just there to support you. There's some people that are just there to support you. There's some people that are there to, you know, be negative, and then that just pushes you further. And then there's some people that are just there. And you just have to be willing to, like, know which ones to cut off, know which ones to keep around, and know which ones to just kind of, like, leave hanging, if that makes sense. But, and I think that's powerful. Like, law of association is huge. I mean, sometimes I hang around people that I haven't seen in a long time, and it reminds me who I need to really be hanging around. Sometimes, you know, when I have those moments and I see somebody that I haven't seen in a long time, hey, you want to catch up? Yeah, let's go catch up. It's been so long, I don't remember what they're like. Then I hang out with them, I'm like, oh, fuck, I need to leave, you know? Yeah. You ever had those moments?
I did, yeah. I mean, me, to be real, I distanced myself from a lot of people, man. I really did. But it was because of having moments like that where it was, we would catch up, and the whole time they're just talking about nothing but bullshit that I really don't care about. And not just like, it's not just that I didn't like care about it, but it was just stuff that like, celebrity gossip and like shit like that. Like, I don't care what they're fucking going through.
On my
like,
give a fuck list. Yeah. It's not on it.
Yeah. Like just not just like literal bullshit. You know what I'm saying? And then just like smoking weed and just chilling. And it's just like, okay, well, like this was cool. This was cool. You know what I'm saying? But like, I'm not 15, 16, 17, 18 years old anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And sometimes you can't even have that conversation with them. You just gotta let them live. You just gotta be like, nice seeing you, bro. I'll catch you later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You can't even like try to have that talk like, come on, bro, don't you wanna do more? Cause they're so stuck.
Yeah.
In that routine.
Yeah. And then it comes off, they take it like you're just trying to preach down to them.
Yeah, I know. They may take it all the time. They may take it the wrong way, and it's like it's all out of love.
Trying to help you, yeah.
You want to see them win so bad, but they have to get to a point in their life when they're ready to win, when they're ready to make that change, and no one's going to listen. People just like to hear, you know, what they want to hear. They take it with a grain of salt, and they do what they do.
That's true.
So, but I want to ask you, it's funny, I actually had this girl that I went to high school with, and very interesting girl, that's all I'll say. And she's like into modeling and acting. You know Super Duper Kyle? Girl, why are you playing with me? Girl, who are you playing with? Are you serious? Kehlani's in it. You've been on that new stuff. Really? Oh my God. This is where I start my singing career. You've been on the same shit. No, I'm kidding.
Shit.
Just kidding. But anyway, it's like a really popular song. It's like on the radio, and I love the song, to be honest. But I'm like, I'm on Instagram, and I'm scrolling down my timeline, and I see like a random video. I don't follow her anymore, but I see this random video, and it's like, she's in it, and there's like hundreds of thousands of views. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I remember last time I talked to her, she was moving to LA, and I was like, what the fuck? That's her. Like, what is she doing? Like, what? And then I searched up the song on YouTube, and like millions of views. She was like the star of it. Like, she was, it was like a dating show. Like, that was like the scene of the music video, and she was like the one that everyone was trying to date. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, this is I don't know if that's the one that like really blows her up, because I don't know, I haven't like been following her, but that was crazy to see that. And I was like, it made me think, I want to know, do you think everyone starts like at different times in their life, and everyone is on like a different mission, and everyone has a different vision of what they want to do in this industry, but do you think it's like what do you think helps people get to that level? Do you think it's the agent? Do you think it's the agency? Do you think it's just them? Do you think it's consistency? Do you think it's do you think it's the right, obviously the connections are always huge, that's what you need, but what do you think?
What are we talking about? Are we talking about like modeling? Or are we talking about acting?
No, I mean like just getting a gig like that. Like she spoke a little bit. But more so acting.
So like a music video?
Yeah, she was in a music
video. A music video is going to be completely based on your looks. Completely based on your look.
Really?
Straight up, yeah. Damn. Completely. So, but for like acting, that is a very big who you know. And who you know is typically your manager. Does your manager have a good agent for you? And then does that agent have a good connect with like casting directors, you know what I'm saying? Because not everybody's gonna be audition, not everybody receives the same like audition, I don't know what it would be, audition like opportunities, that's really not the word I'm looking for, but it fits. So like not everybody's like, you know what I'm saying? Like my agent can send me out for like NCIS, right? But my friend who looks just like me, he could be getting sent out for that show, like Empire.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like, we look the exact same. Like, obviously, the character's kind of the same. Well, why aren't I going out for Empire? Well, my agent didn't have that connect with that casting director. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Like, it's a big web of just, you know. But that's the biggest thing, is it's who is your representation? Who can get you through the door?
How hard is it to get an agency to sign you?
Ooh, it's really hard.
What do you think is the number one thing that you need to have? Like, if you could give an actor or an actress one piece of advice when getting signed to an agency, what is it?
Whew. So in LA, it's everything's broken down. So you have a separate commercial agent, you have a separate theatrical agent, you have a separate like print, like everything's like separate. Whereas in the Bay, everything's kind of lumped together for the most part. So in LA, you are not going to get a theatrical agent, which is the agent that you need to go to audition for like movies and TV shows and stuff. You are not going to get that agent unless you have on your resume network TV shows that you've done. The catch 22 is you can't get those like you can't get those on your resume without doing those kinds of shows, but you need an agent to like even get you to audition for those for the most part. You know what I'm saying? So it's like the trick is to be in a market like San Francisco, the Bay Area, where there's not a lot of TV shows and movies that happen out there, but when they do, you gotta fucking book it. Because the thing is, like in LA, the agents, they're not wasting their time. If they're gonna get your resume, they're gonna see that you've done a bunch of like short films and stuff like that. They don't give a shit. They don't care how many things you've done. It's what have you done? I don't care if it was one line on Law and Order. If you played the barista who was giving the guy coffee, you had a line. That's on your resume. Cool. You were on Law and Order.
So
awesome.
So do you still do short films?
No.
You don't do any?
No.
You just think it's a waste of time?
Not a waste of time. I'm just like where I'm at, it's just, it's pointless. There's no point anymore, you know? Cause like now, like the things that I audition for, I'm there. I'm in that room. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I don't really need to anymore, but like just starting out, whether you're in LA or not in LA, you need material. You have to build a reel. You know what I'm saying? So you can't be picky about like the things that you're going to go out for. You got to just go out for everything. You know what I'm saying? Whether it looks good or not.
So then my next question, almost to end it, is what's the number one piece of advice you would give someone that wants to get started but has no idea where to start? And I'm sure Google answers, YouTube answers, but give them like the raw, real answer and what they need to do. Like just starting out. They have this vision. I want to be an actor. I want to be an actress. And
are they in Sacramento? Go to Studio 24.
Okay, that's a good studio.
Studio 24. You've been there?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I took their commercial class.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. That was like a few years ago though. His name's Cody?
Cody, yeah. Shout out Cody.
Shout out to Cody.
Dude, I am where I'm at because of Studio 24. It literally, the intro class, the intro to acting for film and TV covers everything. Everything about the craft, about the business side of it, about what a resume looks like, what a good headshot looks like, and here's some photographers. Here are the agents in the Bay Area that you can submit to. Here's how to submit to them. Here's the websites that you need to put. Like, it literally like lays out the blueprint to get this started.
And do you think if someone takes that class, do you think it will help them realize that this might be a fit for me? I can do this. That's what I can do. Agents, cool. Headshot, I'll pay. I don't care. And do you also think it may be a realization to other people like, man, this isn't a fit. I don't think I want to do this. Do you think that'll help people?
Absolutely. Okay. Because you got to perform. You know what I'm saying? Like, it gives you the business stuff. But like I said, there's also like, okay, well, this is the craft. This is how you do it. Here's a script. You know what I'm saying? Here's your partner. You guys are going to present this next week in front of everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And some people are going to do okay. Some people are going to do really good. And some people are going to be really shitty. You know what I'm saying? And it's the people that are really shitty that if they see no progress, because this is like I forget how long a class it was, 4 or 7 weeks, something like that. But if they're really struggling, you know what I'm saying? They're just not getting it. Well, it's not for them because it's
are you sure?
It's hard.
Or do you think they could get better?
I'm not them.
Oh.
Well, here's you got to be realistic, man. Like it's.
After the first 4 weeks, though, after the first 2 months, you think if they're not doing that well, that they should just quit?
Okay. I want to be a very good basketball player. I want to go to the NBA right now. I can't do that.
That's physical, true too.
Okay, so I gave you a very bad example.
Yeah, you did. I didn't want to say it was bad because I'm like, you know what? It takes the same amount of like, you know, it takes skill, it takes perseverance, it takes, you know, a certain type of level, but that's physical as fuck.
I got another one.
You got to be tall, you got to be fast, you got to be strong, you got to be, you know what I mean?
You got to be born with those intangibles. You really do. So, okay, so not basketball. I'll stay on art, though, like drawing. Drawing. I can draw. I can spend fucking 8 hours a day trying to draw and become, like, extremely good. It's not going to happen for me. That's just not my thing, man.
Let me tell you. Kevin Hart.
Uh-huh.
Kevin Hart. My mom read his book. Mm-hmm. I can't make this up. Something like that. He had a bunch of cats in it or something on his cover. Anyway, super funny. It's like his story, right? And just to wrap this up, last like real story, and then I'll let you finish, was he was at a level where he was actually like, you know, progressing. Like people knew who he was. He had a lot of people that were recommending him to certain directors and, you know, agents. And he was still doing comedian. He was doing stand-up comedy, right? That was, like, his main thing that he was focusing on. And I remember there was, like, an audition for a specific guy. Like, this is the guy. If you are a stand-up comedian and you get his blessing, you're off to the races. Like, you're good. You're good. Like, now everyone knows you. You can book anything, right? So he goes. And I believe he didn't even have to do the initial audition in front of a bunch of like random judges before he can even see him, because he already had a really high recommendation from everybody else. So then he got an opportunity to audition right in front of that main guy. I don't remember his name, but he got to audition right in front of him. So he called him back to his office. He said he'll never forget. He sat down and the guy looked him straight in his eyes and he said, "I don't think this is a fit for you. I don't think stand-up comedy is a fit for you. I think you need to go do something else."
See, but what you're saying, I don't mean to cut you off. This is great. This is great. Before he had that moment, though, he had achieved a level of success.
Yes. Right?
People knew who he was.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is, like, in the very beginning, you kind of know, like, the things that you can and can't do. We're all born with, like, talent, you know, in something. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. Some people are brilliant with like numbers and math, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're all born with we have
certain skill sets that we're stronger at than others.
Yeah. Okay. Now that doesn't mean, you know, don't limit yourself. You try everything. Try everything. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's like you got to be able to be realistic and analyze your strengths and your weaknesses. So if you know, you know what? I keep stuttering on this fucking line, and I can't memorize. I'm too tight. I'm thinking about like how other people are, like you. There's things that like you have to be okay with in order to be like not a good actor, but just to be able to just do the job. You know what I'm saying? Like, and if you just can't because of your personality or whatever, it's not gonna happen for you. So the Kevin Hart, that's a good thing, because then what did he do, right?
He said he fucking made it.
He said, "Fuck that guy. I know I'm dope," you know, and he became one of the hugest. Like, that's not even a fucking word. I'm not saying hugest.
I'm not. But, you know, that though. I'm not about to cut that out.
Fuck. You know, I'm smart, I swear. So, but he became huge, man. Like one of our biggest stars ever, Kevin Hart. You know what I'm saying? So that's more along the lines of something that like somebody that's in like my shoes would do, where you have a pretty huge audition with somebody, and then that director tells you, you know what, nah, you're trash. But then you go, you know, and you keep working your craft. Yeah, and then you book that one, you're like, yeah, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? Now, well, you want me to be in your movie now? Nah, you know? Or okay, show me the money. But
hey, the price is right.
The price is right, yeah. I'll forget what you said. It's all good. Sign right there, you know?
Yeah.
But no, like that's beautiful. That's a great story. And there's no doubt in my mind that everybody is going to have like that moment. Everybody's going to be tested. Julia Roberts had that moment. She talked about it. Kevin Hart, like you just said. Everybody, Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, people knocked on him, like, dude, give it up, you know,
he can't even speak English,
and he said, nah, fuck you, like, I know I can do this, you know, so everybody's gonna have that moment, and that's, I haven't had that moment,
well,
obviously, you know, yeah, I know I will, and it's the, how you bounce back, how you take it, because that's a crushing thing, man. I talked about, like, heartbreak as an actor. I couldn't imagine a more vulnerable position to be in, you know what I'm saying, than sitting across from somebody that like, this is the guy that can really make this happen, and he tells you flat out like, I don't think you're that good, you know what I'm saying, like that's what do you do after that, man? Like, you're gonna cry. I don't care who you are. That's gonna be a crushing thing, and you're gonna have to look yourself in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? And figure out what's next. You know what I'm saying? Do you believe them, or are you gonna prove them wrong, or her?
Love it.
You know.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show, guys. Literally. Dope. This was incredible. So many nuggets. Usually I'll have to ask a lot of questions, but I feel like I didn't even ask that many questions with you. I feel like you just, you know, you went, you did your thing, you told your story, and I'm really thankful. So where can these people find you at? Where can they find you, and what are you working on right now that they need to be on the lookout for?
Honestly, guys, like, let's collab, man. So I talked about being a producer. So we got 3 projects in development right now. We got a TV pilot that we're gearing up to shoot probably December, January at the very latest. We've got a couple investors on board, so that's always good. People believe in the vision. They're willing to put the money up to finance it. And, you know, we're going to go ahead and shoot this thing. We're trying to get a hold of, like, 2 Hollywood actors. I can't drop names, but it's all good. I can't even really disclose, like, what this series is about. But just know it's a comedy. It involves college. It involves beer pong. And it's going to be a whole lot of fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're an actor, like, you'll see casting notices probably on SF Casting. I'll probably reach out to a local casting director, and we'll get that thing going. We're gearing up to shoot our first feature film next year, which is going to be super, super, super dope. I don't even want to get started talking about
feel
that because I literally, I just know, like, this is going to be the one. So we're getting ready to launch the funding for that, as well as, like, just raising the money ourselves to go ahead and get that done. It's pretty large budget. And then we got an animation show, man, that we're gearing up to do. So we've got a lot in the works. 2018 is going to finish pretty strong, and then 2019, it's going to be fire, man. But if you guys want to, like, I guess if you guys want to collab, like, brainstorm some ideas, whatever you want to do, it's all good. Just go to the website, www.starshooterent.com. And just check out what we got, man. Like, you see our production reel on there. We got like a tab, like, where you can, like, pitch your idea, like, or just get in contact with us. Got, like, IMDb set up. I mean, we've got everything, man. Like, we're ready. Like, we're young, we're hungry, and we want it. You know what I'm saying? So just come on board, man, and let's do this, man.
All right. www.starshooterent.com. Thank you so much for being on the show.